Hey, hello there. How are you, everybody? This is Keisha, and I need to explain to you Gia's absence. Gia is taking care of her dad now in Tennessee. She's a lovely daughter, and we appreciate how dedicated she is to taking care of her dad. And as a special guest tonight, I've invited my lovely coworker, Amy. She's a nurse, and this is a podcast dedicated to a medical drama. So it seems only fitting that we have a nurse here once in a while to perhaps answer our medical questions. And I have a list of some, and maybe Amy can just share some of her medical knowledge too. I like to think, Amy, that Gia and I are also medical professionals, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Because not only do we watch General Hospital faithfully, but we've also watched every episode of ER.
Oh, then yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Your physician level.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. We probably will have something laminated in the future to carry around. And in my opinion, the way that you demonstrate whether or not you're actually a medical professional is your willingness to do an emergency tracheotomy.
With a pen.
With a pen. Exactly. Exactly. Yes. I haven't done one, but I like to think I could. Knowing me as well as you do you think I have the presence of mind to do an emergency tracheotomy?
Oh, yes. Presence of mind and the steadiness of your hand.
Thank you. The hands of the non-smoker. Oh, yeah. There's no shaking, right?
You would be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A couple of questions, though, because I don't want to go into it blindly. Is there such a thing as a non-emergency tracheotomy, or would they all be emergencies?
So they're mostly emergencies.
Yeah.
But there are scenarios that people would have a planned tracheostomy that would be like permanent long-term.
Oh, okay.
Cancer type.
Right, right. Yep. Okay. Yep. So good point. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, mm-hmm. you need a pen, sure, like a ballpoint pen for the air tube, and then some sort of a scalpel, or would like a steak knife or something do the trick if you were in a restaurant, say?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, a paperclip could work if you had enough strength and the precision of it. You just really have to get through. It's a pretty thin layer there.
So yeah.
There isn't a lot of muscle. And
you
can do it.
Maybe next time we're in person, you could tell me where exactly to insert the paperclip. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to know that when I'm out among people that I would be prepared and not just in my head. You know, but
we could do a drill. Yes.
Okay.
The coworker and we'll practice.
There's a short list. I think you know who would be on the list.
Maybe.
I was gonna plug this to our coworkers, but maybe now I can't. But all kidding aside, everyone, Amy is a wonderful nurse, and if I had to appoint someone my guardian for my health issues, I think Amy would be a wonderful person for that.
Well, thank you, Keisha. Wow. I'm honored.
Oh, I'm serious. Now, how long have you been in the nursing profession?
Well, I have been in healthcare now for about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nursing, 21 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most meaningful part of your job?
Don't judge by how long it's taking me to reply.
Okay, sure. I don't mind a person who likes to think about what they're going to say. This is refreshing.
You know, right now or in the past, since COVID, there has been a ton of negative healthcare in general.
Right, right.
Nurses and physicians are just fleeing the industry. There's a lot of stress. The healthcare system is broken. There's a lot of negative points. Mm-hmm. And I think for any healthcare professional in any setting, it's really hard to feel like you're doing what you want to do and make a difference for people because you don't have the time or the resources to do it, to do what the job you need to do.
Right.
But overall, I mean, the most rewarding part is to make a difference for somebody. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean the emergency tracheostomy. I mean, it doesn't have to be that impactful. Sometimes just listening and letting people be heard can be just as rewarding, just to give them your time and attention.
Yeah. I think in our company, we deal with a lot of people who are pretty isolated, and I think they like to know somebody hears them when they're talking about their struggles. Yeah.
And it's something else with I think people are surprised. People that are healthy and then become sick to any level are very surprised that the doctors don't just know. you go to the hospital and they're running tests because it is ruling things out. There isn't a magical answer. There isn't a roadmap to what the problem is. So they're saying it's not this. Okay, let's test for this. It's not that. So it's well-educated guesswork. And that's tough for a patient to be in that situation. So just to hear them and to be there to hear that for them, hear what they have to say is important.
Yeah,
it's rewarding.
Well, you know, this podcast, I think same, you know, very rewarding. I think we're touching people in all kinds of ways.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And educating, you know, we try to take our responsibility very seriously, our, you know, as hosts. And I wanted to let you know of some of the things that we did to help inform our listeners on a medical level. We did an experiment with Nareva, where we both took Nareva for a month. Do you know what Nareva is? It's supposed to help your memory and
your
brain function.
where did you get that from?
I ordered it online.
Oh, and you're sure it was Nareva?
It was the real deal.
Good.
But I don't know that it made any difference, to be honest. Oh. Yeah. My dreams seemed a little more vivid and unpleasant, but but we took this
unpleasant.
That would be one thing, yeah. But no such luck. But we took this assessment thing online to sort of get our baseline sort of cognitive function, you know, established, and that was devastating.
Wow.
We both failed.
Oh.
And although the upside was, it also told you, I think, what your mental age was. And mine, I think, was like 56, and I'm 60. So that felt really good.
That's fantastic. That's a very random. I would be curious to know how they come up with that. The age.
I know. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, it was unpleasant overall as an experience. So yeah, we wrapped it up after the month, and now we're back to like our normal level of functioning, which is, you know, subpar. But you know, that's fine. That's fine. We don't expect too much of ourselves or each other.
Let's be honest, there's some things that are part of your day-to-day that you may not want to fully remember.
Exactly.
Cognitively in tune with, you know?
Right, right. I think it's best to be sort of half awake all the time.
Yeah, yes. I spent time working in the long-term care setting, and dementia and Alzheimer's, that's, you know, it's a very serious condition and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But there's some ladies that live in long-term care settings that they spend at least half their day all dolled up. Their clip-on pearls, their lipstick, and their pocketbook, and they're sitting in the lobby because they're waiting for the hotel to open for dinner, their restaurant. And that's not so terrible. I would trade some incontinence just to think I'm on the ship or in the hotel. If I'm content just waiting for the restaurant to open and I'm on vacation.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad, actually, does it? No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, way to just put a positive spin on it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Another thing I wanted your input on, we talk pretty openly about any sort of meds we're on. You know, we try to be pretty transparent, not just when we're experimenting. But Gia's on Crestor right now. And I think that it's made her funnier. Have you heard of any clinical trials where they've tried to determine whether it helps people be funnier?
I have not heard of any.
Or any side effects like that.
That's interesting. Not that I know of, but I am going to have to research this later. Wow, that's a great side effect.
I think so, yeah. I think they could market it that way, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because it's important to laugh, I think, you know?
Can you hear it now in the commercial for any experience an increase in sense in personality, sense of humor?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Wow. Yeah. I think
that would help everyone, really. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then the last thing that we tried, this is, I guess, not as intense an experience, but we tried Lumi, the deodorant that you can use all over your body. And
did you eat it?
No.
Swallow it?
No, you don't do that. You don't do that, Amy. No.
We were talking about pills, so I wasn't.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, this is more like on a superficial outer body experience level. But again, I didn't think it was that successful for me. I feel like I sweat a lot nervously, you know. I'm always a little bit anxious, and I tend to smell like an Italian sub. And I would like to just explain, not a submarine full of Italian people, but a sandwich, the Italian sandwich. So the Lumi didn't help me with that.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts?
Well, it would worry me that you would block sweating for your whole body.
Yeah, I don't think it quite blocks it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it. I don't think it's.
It would be.
No, so it didn't work. It wasn't blocking anything, I don't think. But yeah, it was. There's so many commercials that we were curious, you know, about whether or not it performed better than a deodorant. And you're supposed to be able to put it like anywhere. That's another one of its features. Which, again, I don't know if that's something that people were looking for. But
probably.
Now it seems like, you think? I notice now that, like, some other companies have come along and they've got like whole body deodorants now too. So,
oh yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I guess everybody sweats and smells a lot more than they want to. But
what about Ozempic? That's not that you didn't trial Ozempic?
No, no. I understand the appeal, like taking a pill that helps you lose weight. Who could say no to that? For some reason, I don't know. And I some of my medications that I've taken for anxiety and to help my headaches have caused me to gain weight, you know, so it's a problem. And I never was able to lose that weight. You'd think I would say hello, Ozempic. But I feel like that's cheating. I don't know. It's stupid. I well, you know.
You know, memory or like guaranteed weight loss. I don't know. It's hard to get your hands on.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to volunteer to do the trial of Ozempic if that would be helpful. Yeah.
I'd
try it. I'd be willing.
Yeah, I know. Like if you're a celebrity, it seems like you can get it for whether or not you have a need, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Diabetic, forget it. You're not.
Yeah. You can't get it unless you're a celebrity. That's just how the world works, Amy. Okay. Right. It's one of the hard truths, but yeah, yeah. I know. Well, if you ever do get your hands on some and you want to come back and let us know how it works for you, we're happy to share that information.
Good to know.
There's always a spot for you here if you have anything to share with us, okay?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'd like to get into some more soap opera-based medical situations, okay? I think there's a certain type of medicine that's specific to soap operas or issues that people are confronted with in soap operas that you don't see quite as much of in real life. Hmm. Would you say, like, for instance, evil twins? In your experience with twins that you know, would you say the chances of one of them being evil is almost 100%?
See, that's, I'm very biased to that because,
Go ahead.
My husband's ex-wife is a twin and I kind of think of her as evil.
See, so maybe it is true in real life as well as on soap operas.
Yeah, it's certainly not impossible. It's not off the table for a real life problem.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why would one be evil and one not?
The whole, you know, sharing the
uterus
for 9 months and then are you all getting equal chromosomes and how could there it would seem that there's a higher risk for something to go awry in that department.
Okay. So then it's not really beyond the realm of possibility that 50% of all twins are evil.
Oh, it's very possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe that's one area where soap operas are accurately portraying real life. Okay.
I think that they're uncovering what's really out there that people aren't talking about.
Yes, they do a lot of things like that are public services, really. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now this second one, I think also there is a bit of truth to this, but, brain tumors that cause bad behavior, right?
Yes, that is a very as common on soap operas. Not as common in real life. No.
Okay, no. So let's say there was someone who was behaving badly because they had a walnut-sized brain tumor, for instance. Mm. Do you think if you removed the brain tumor, they would turn into a lovely person?
Oh, doubt it. Chances are that walnut-sized tumor is a you know, a good excuse for really letting that rage out.
Okay.
That's my professional opinion, but.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It could, yeah, revert with removal.
Huh. Well, that's a little disappointing. Okay.
I know.
All right. So maybe don't go to the bother of removing the tumor because it's not going to really help.
No. And is it so bad? Is that person really unhappy being
evil
the way that they are? Yeah. They may enjoy it.
That's true too. Yeah. They seem to.
Wants it removed.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Why would they do it for us? Okay. Okay. Right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
They're happy. Okay.
They're happy. Once again, it's all in just how they decide to just embrace or not whatever they've got to work with. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What's next? Did you ever encounter prisoners being treated in a hospital?
So funny, I personally have had yet to experience that.
Okay. Okay.
But I do have a 19-year-old son
who
works for a carpentry union in South Boston for a state-run hospital.
Oh.
They have a methadone clinic and they have all there's a direct access from the prison. So they have the prisoners that come over. So I have all kinds of stories.
Oh, interesting.
Go wrong there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, no.
Okay. Okay. Because on general hospital, quite often one of the patients is a prisoner.
Yeah.
You know, who's being treated for something. And they seem to have sort of the run of the hospital. And I just wondered if that was something that you could expect in real life too. You think the prisoners are just walking the halls?
No, they have their own little hospital.
Okay. That makes a little bit more sense, I think. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Otherwise, it could be chaos there.
Yeah. You know? And it is. It is. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, well, sure. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you tell your son to be careful. Do you worry about him in this situation?
Nah. He's good. No.
Okay.
I just enjoy the stories.
Stories, yeah. That's the main thing, yeah.
Suburban 19-year-olds, you know, working with all kinds of a whole different type of population.
Yeah, that must be a slice of life for him, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. A slice of life. I like that, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay. Another thing that happens to characters quite often on General Hospital and other soap operas is they get shot. You know, everybody I think has probably been shot at least once, right?
Oh.
And often they're on the lam and they're being treated by their friends, you know, girlfriends, whoever happens upon them. What would you say a soap opera character should keep on their person in the way of a first aid kit so that they could treat someone with a gunshot wound?
So outside of the hospital, clearly, what should they keep in a first aid kit? Oh, well, the most you can do is stop that bleeding.
Okay.
Maybe just fold up some gauze in your pocketbook or.
I've heard a tampon can work.
Anything can work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything that will absorb with some pressure will certainly help.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't think they should try to sew something up?
Well, no, because you don't know where that bullet went.
But yeah, you got to get the bullet out. That's pretty important, right?
Yeah. I don't think they need bullets in anymore.
No.
Back in the day, way back in the day. But yeah, I think they...
Can they move around? Is that... Or would they just be a cause of infection if they're left in there?
Mm-hmm. Right. And slow the healing. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about like helping them with the pain? Is there anything that you should have on hand for that?
Well, you certainly can have some edible gummies, chocolates, things like that. The marijuana mm-hmm. can take the pain down and disorient quite a bit.
Okay.
So that's an option. But other than that, there isn't much you can have on hands unless you have a good Mexican pharmacy to get good drugs from.
Okay. Have you ever treated a gunshot wound yourself?
I have not. Okay. Not personally, no. Mm-hmm. So Stab wounds.
Well, we have some of those too. In fact, Heather Weber was walking around the hospital with like a bone saw the other day.
Yeah. Wow.
And she didn't get to use it, but she enjoyed having it in her hand. And
too bad she didn't get to use it.
I know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So a stab wound. Could a person out at large treat a stab wound, do you think, effectively?
Sure. Yeah. Just the same as that bullet wound. You just
pressure
on in or maxi pad or and
mm-hmm.
pressure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right,
you
hammer.
You could try to sew that up.
Dental floss,
anything like that.
Dental floss.
Mild, try to sew it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. What if you had some like embroidery floss from a friendship bracelet?
Yes. As long as it's long enough. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Excellent. Let's see. The last one I have for you, and feel free to take this and run with it if you like. Tapeworms.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on tapeworms?
In what context do they creep me out? You know, have I seen them or?
Okay, have you seen them? Is there a chance that someone could have a tapeworm and it would mask symptoms of some other more serious disease or vice versa, maybe? How often do people suffer from a tapeworm in the United States, I guess, especially?
So I don't have the exact percentage.
No.
But not the exact stats on that. I can get back to you. But I think tapeworms, the symptoms would show up as a less concerning gastrointestinal symptom.
Uh-huh.
And could be misdiagnosed for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing too significant would be diagnosed, but it's really a tapeworm.
Mm-hmm. And so what would be the treatment for a tapeworm?
Oh, this is a quiz here.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to quiz you. We were reading up about them a little bit because somebody on General Hospital had suffered from a tapeworm. And so we were trying to figure out if there were these old sort of wives' tales about how you could draw one out, like by holding meat or warm milk in front of somebody's mouth. Or have you seen that?
I have not seen that work. There are medications for it. Some of those lesser used drugs that
we
malaria and different kinds of other parasites.
Yeah, would they flush it out instead of like drawing it out from your mouth, do you think?
So if anything, they're going to go towards the other end of the spectrum there.
Yeah.
Draw that out.
Yeah.
Because it would be a longer journey upward versus downward.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And you don't have like, what is that, peristalsis or whatever that moves things through the...
Yes.
Like I said, we have watched many medical dramas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any favorite medical, terms that you like? Like tamponade? That's a good one.
Mm.
Lavage?
Fun to say. Lavage is fun. Yes. oof. I'll have to come back to this one. That's a good question.
Oh, also, how about what is it that score? The Glasgow.
The coma
score? Yeah, yeah.
Glasgow.
Yeah, they always say that on ER. Like they have to rank like a person's, what is it, their level of consciousness or something? Is that what it is?
There you go. Yes, and their pupil reaction time.
Yeah. It's kind of miss all those expressions. General Hospital doesn't have quite as many like real intense, you know, ER scenes like some of the other shows do.
Right. And I think that would overstep some of the foundation of General Hospital itself. Have all this ER excitement drama.
You may be right. It's possible that not everybody is looking for those types of scenes. Maybe they're there for the romance and that kind of stuff. But
some. Maybe
some. Yeah. Yeah, I like a mix. Right. I like a mix. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Still trying to think of a medical term that I know that there is a very good one that I enjoy saying that is not coming to me.
Well, I noticed like I've looked at a lot of medical records, as I'm sure you have too. And it's funny when you see some observations that doctors or their office personnel have made about a patient in the office, you know. Sometimes they have like a nice way with the words, you know. I remember there was one doctor who said that their patient had admitted to eating hot dogs every day, you know, which I enjoyed. I think as a vegetarian, no, but I like the fact that it seemed like the patient had been honest enough to admit that, right?
This is true.
Do you find with patients that you've dealt with that it's hard to really get the truth out of people, especially probably about behaviors that they think they might be judged for?
Harder with women.
Really?
Yes. Men?
They don't care.
They don't care. And they tend to be on the softer side and more concerned if they have a health issue.
Uh-huh.
So they're very willing to tell you all and
anything. Uh-huh. Like way more than you might need to know.
Way more than you need to know, usually, yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just to get to the bottom of their man flu or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It's very concerning for them. So they tend to be honest.
Okay.
There is a rule of thumb, an unwritten law, that so when you ask somebody how many drinks do you have in a week or a day, whatever, for drinks, you multiply that. When you're asking about illegal drug use, you divide that by two. Multiply by two for alcohol and divide by two because drug addicts tend to over-exaggerate their drug use because they reminisce and think about it and it's
good
condition. But yeah, that's an unwritten rule.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. Would that go for like pot too? Like marijuana and that, would that be dividing or?
Possibly. I think that's a whole different category.
Yeah.
There's so many benefits to that. You know, a lot of the older population is starting to really latch on to that.
Yeah.
Whatever form they take it in, for headaches, for depression, for pain.
Mm-hmm.
And not so terrible. So yeah, I think we would exclude marijuana from the multiplying factor. But
okay. Have you ever tried it for headaches?
I have not for headaches, no, because I would fall asleep. Maybe at night
Okay. Somebody gave me some little marijuana cookies once for my headaches. They were made at a bakery.
Wow.
So they were like fancy little cookies, you know. They were about the size of a quarter, and they were like a pale green. And I had two. There were two in this little baggie. And they said, you know, don't take a whole cookie. Because I had never smoked or done anything marijuana related before. So I took like a small bite and then I went, my headache wasn't going away. So I decided I'm going to take a bath because sometimes that helps me, you know. Yeah. And then it kicked in. This little bite of cookie kicked in. And like all of a sudden I couldn't control my hands. Like I couldn't move my fingers. And I was like, I felt like there were these waves crashing down on me. And I was like, I was in the bathtub and I was like, I don't know if I can get out, but I better try.
I gotta get out of here.
You know. And I had, at the time I had a little chihuahua and a couple other dogs. And I was like couldn't stand. And I felt myself falling on my little chihuahua. She was fine, but she did yelp. But so long story short, that was my one and only experience with any sort of marijuana product as a health aid. Yeah, it didn't go well.
From one bite.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, I was working at a library at the time and I had some staff that I supervised. And I felt like I needed to be a role model, you know? So I had to disclose what had happened.
As a good role model would.
Yeah, yeah. And I was able to get rid of the rest of the cookies quite easily after that. So I didn't have them in my house anymore, but. Yeah, I'm always a little tentative when I hear people talking about CBD and stuff. Like, I'm sure there are benefits, you know. I just don't know how much knowledge or research has really been done, you know, to control what people have, I guess.
Right. Well, in Massachusetts, where you have dispensaries,
uh-huh.
you can go in and the people that work there are very knowledgeable and can tell you.
Yeah.
You know, exactly how much to take, mm-hmm. not take.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have a hard time with the edible mm-hmm. version because it may take an hour to kick in. And by that
point, right.
you've eaten more.
Right. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh man, I'm in trouble.
Yep. Yeah. You really wouldn't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Wow. But scary.
It was a little scary, but I must say my coworkers just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing, though. If you can find the humor in it, you know,
you have to.
That's right.
Or take Crestor. Right. If not, you can't find the humor.
I know. And one thing Gia will tell you also in her medical experiences. She enjoys a colonoscopy.
Because she
likes the nap.
Yeah.
You know.
And I can tell you, it's so interesting to watch people have full-fledged conversations with you. And they're not there.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're mid colonoscopy. And they're they're a little sounding tipsy, like they've had a few drinks, but they're awake and they have no memory of it.
Yeah. She enjoys that part of it quite a lot.
That's the Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right. So I guess
that every night, huh?
I can't. That might be too much of a good thing, I guess, huh?
Yeah. See how it happens,
Yeah, that's true too, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, live and learn, nice huh?
Haze. That's right. Live and learn.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, this has been a delight, Amy. Thank you so much for joining me here.
Anytime, really.
Yeah.
This is fantastic. I will think of the term.
Okay. Is it neuropathy? I don't mind saying neuropathy, but everybody has neuropathy at some point, don't they? Neuropathy.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. No, it's something. It's a fun word. You'll enjoy it. I will follow up on this. And get
okay.
Back to you.
Okay, that sounds good. And hopefully when Gia comes back, maybe sometime we could have you back on, because I think she'd have some questions for you too.
Absolutely. That would
perhaps be inappropriate as well, but
that would be perfect. I love inappropriate.
That's kind of our sweet spot.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, thank you for everybody who's listening. I hope you enjoyed this informative conversation, educational as well, right? Right. I mean, we do strive to inform as well as entertain. And I think tonight we may have at least achieved one of those objectives.
Yeah. We will be giving out continuing education credits to those.
Yes, that's a good idea. Professors. Yeah. Yeah. Try putting this on a form.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
We're accredited.
Credit for attending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you for that, Hammer. She gets called Hammer is one of her nicknames at work, because you can tell she's such a hard ass.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't you want Nurse Hammer?
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's one of those nicknames that really doesn't suit you at all, because you're very sweet.
The hammer that squeaks, the blow.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Can't tell anybody that, though.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. Your secret is safe right here. Okay. All right. Well, I won't keep you any longer, but we'd love to have you back sometime soon. And thank you so much again, Amy.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Good night, everybody. Goodbye.